Well, yesterday, Startup Nation Central, together with SNPI Think Tank, published its 2022 annual summary of the Israeli high-tech industry based on analysis of data from the Startup Nation Finder Innovation Business Knowledge Platform. Although I am not an expert when it comes to all the technical stuff, it's always fascinating to hear about how Israel's doing on the world scene regarding high-tech, startups, etc. The CEO of Startup Nation Central is Avi Hasson, and he is with us live via telephone from Israel. A pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So how was 2022 for Israel and the high-tech industry? Based on some of the quotes I saw of yours, it seems we may have reached the peak in terms of the influence that Israelis have when it comes to the technological world. How would you evaluate the last year?
So I think when we look back at 2022, it's obvious that we're actually looking at two very different years. The first half of the year is more a reflection of the big party of 2021, in which, by the way, we saw truly a peak in terms of investments in Israel and throughout the world in technology, whereas the latter half, the second half of the year, is a reflection of what we're seeing, all of us, as consumers, regardless of where we live in the macroeconomic cycle and the downturn in the economy.
Is that reflected by the layoffs at places like Facebook and Amazon, etc., which have been worldwide? Or is that a byproduct of the fact that some of these companies are sort of downsizing, as we saw them do in the latter half of 2022?
Yeah, I think it's important to emphasize that what we've seen in Israel in terms of the investment and the state of affairs in high tech, this is not a crisis that started in Israel or in the high-tech industry. Again, this is a much bigger macroeconomic challenge and downturn, which we kind of forgot happens every now and then. We were all used to a very bullish market and an upgoing market. But what we're seeing now is exactly the opposite of that. And in Israel, in tech, are just suffering. So what we've seen in companies like Facebook, Google, and Amazon, and I expect we'll be seeing more in the next 12 months, in 2023, is a reflection of the fact that when this sort of cycle happens, every CEO makes a much tighter analysis of both the expected cash flows, the income, the revenues, as well as the expenses, and makes the right adjustments.
Avi Hasson is with us, CEO of Startup Nation Central. So essentially, it's an economic situation. If the world economy is not going in a positive direction, then there's limited cash, as much cash as we think there is, because it always appears that there's so much, but there's still limited cash compared to what there was, and I assume limited ability to invest. So Avi, would you say that the ingenuity is still at a very high level, meaning there's plenty of ideas, plenty of pitches, plenty of incredible Israeli companies that are still being formed, but funding them could be a problem?
No, absolutely. I think it's obvious to say at Startup Nation Central, that's what we do all day, by the way, which is connect basically global challenges to Israeli innovation, working with multinational companies and global investors and really trying to make those on the ground connections and investments. Israeli ingenuity, isn't even close to the ending. We have a vibrant ecosystem, really one of the world leading innovation hubs with everything that, one needs in order to have the fountain of startups. And in the past years, we've also seen, quite happy about that phenomena, not just young companies, but actually larger companies being created, category leaders, leading their respective sectors. And as a result of that, by the way, we're seeing more and more global investors, both the American, the General Atlantics of the world, the Blackstone, the PSG, the large private equity firms, setting up shop, opening big offices in Israel to take advantage of the talent and of those scale-up companies. So I'm not concerned that any of that is going away. Also, Israeli founders and investors have shown in the past, and I'm old enough to remember the past cycles, a big agility, which comes both from size and culture. So I think, we have what it takes to make the right adjustment. Sometimes it's pivot your company. Sometimes it shifts to other sectors which are emerging, like agri-food, food technology, or sustainability-related issues and others. There are a lot of opportunities out there.
Yeah.
I think it's just about not ignoring the situation and taking the right steps.
I was going to say that one of the things we reaffirmed during COVID is that there's always going to be a robust food industry. And it was funny to read, as you just stated in your report, that when it comes to the agri-food type of companies, those still continue to have an advantage. Because, again, I assume it's the same theory, right? People always need to eat, and the technology needs to stay current in that industry.
Absolutely. And by the way, it's reflected in the data. So actually the sector that had the lowest decline in terms of investment, even stayed pretty much flat, is agri-food.
Right.
Simply because the reason you said, people are always going to need food. Food security is not going away. Actually, we also, also issues like the war in Ukraine and other geopolitical that really caused us to understand that it's going to remain an issue in the years to come. And Israel has emerged actually as a leader in some of the subcategories of these emerging sectors. So I think there's still a lot to innovate as such and also take advantage of new opportunities. It's also a different branch of our activities. We focus on what we call innovation diplomacy, really trying to take advantage of the amazing opportunities that the Abraham Accords position to us and try to see how we can leverage these daily innovation, knowledge, know-how, connections to forge and nurture these new relationships that we have that really create also an amazing economic opportunity.
You know, when the consumer thinks of Israel, and I'm talking about consumers, especially those on this end of the world, when we think of Israel and technology or Israel and startups and successes and exits, we think of SodaStream, we think of Waze, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, the list that the average consumer is familiar with. What is it today? I get that the agri-food is hot and it'll always have a level of hotness to it, so to speak, as you just described. But we keep reading about the AI technology and the possibility that Google's in big trouble because of it. Is a lot of that coming out of Israel?
No, absolutely. And by the way, sometimes it's coming out of Google, Facebook, Amazon, and Apple, and Microsoft, but it's from their Israeli design and R&D center.
Every company you just mentioned has major centers in Israel?
Absolutely. And for many of them, it was their first center outside, not just the U.S., but outside, in the case of Apple, it was their first R&D center outside of Cupertino, California. Intel has 20,000 employees in Israel.
Wow.
And there are about 500 such companies. So it's hard to find a meaningful company that does not have an innovation or R&D center in Israel. And many times the innovation that you discuss come either from acquiring an Israeli startup or just by organically developing it in those centers. So a lot is coming out, and certainly also the startup, the startup scene is strong. You talked about AI, and obviously that, ChatGPT, generative AI,
right,
has gained a lot of attention.
Right.
A lot is happening in Israel, both in the what we call horizontal technology infrastructure, but also in applying it to different verticals and sectors. Going back to my previous issue, just as a totally different example, in the world of alternative protein, future meat, plant-based meat, cultured meat,
right,
but also non-dairy milk and the like. Israel last year was actually second only to the U.S. in the absolute dollar amount invested in it, not per capita, not normalizing it. Israel was actually second to the U.S. in terms of the number of companies and the flow of investment going into this, emerging space of alternative proteins based on the scientific knowledge, but also the startup ecosystem that exists. So, not to mention things that continue to be strong, even if they went down, like cybersecurity and the like.
Right. So it's not like it's sort of like not a real downturn. I mean, you could tell us this, you know, all the data, but sort of you have to look at the last few months as a lull, I guess. Right. Just in terms of until there's because it sounds like the innovation, the ideas, the companies, even the employment. It sounds like there's no I mean, I get Facebook had to, you know, lay off certain people and, you know, Amazon, of course, yeah. You know, last one first out. I get it. But it does sound like there's still a robust employment sector that is going nowhere at this point other than up.
Yeah, so in Israel there were layoffs in high tech, obviously not as high as in the US, but the sector as a whole actually grew in 2022.
Wow.
More people worked for the high tech industry at the end of 22 than they did the year before. And we still had actually an acute shortage of people. So, you know, besides recommending every relevant people to make Aliyah, because I can assure a well-paying job in the high-tech sector, we certainly need more talent to fuel basically this ecosystem. As such, when it's your company, you know that is facing the problem,
right.
It's never easy.
Of course.
And I was, you know, both a tech executive and a venture capitalist. And I think we're going to see a rough year ahead. I wouldn't say that we touched bottom yet.
Right.
But I will say that what we're seeing is not unique to Israel. And I will add to that the macro trend of the need for technology, the need for innovation, and the way it's going to disrupt pretty much every sector of our lives is not going anywhere. And as such, you know, Israel in that game, we've been playing it quite strongly for the past two or three decades, and we definitely could intend to continue doing so.
What is the historical mark for you? What year would you say? And I know it's hard to pinpoint it because obviously, you know, this happened gradually. But at what point was it, you know, was it established, was it obvious that Israel is going to be a very important part of this technology boom? Was it the year 2000? Was it later than that? What would you or what event would you point to where you said, you know what, now Israel, you know, anachnu b'mapa, now Israel's really on the map and is going to be a world leader in all of this?
Right. So again, I was a part of this ecosystem for the past 35 years, and I've really seen it evolve. From different perspective, you know, I was in the tech industry. I was a venture capitalist. I was the chief scientist of Israel in the government for 6.5 years. You're right to say that it took Israel 30 years to become an instant success.
Right.
It is a process. Right. You know, you need to walk before you can run. Definitely the mid-90s were a big turning point. That's where a combination of multiple events, some of which Israel specific, some are not. Smart innovation policies, the immigration from the former Soviet Union, the rise of the internet, the multinationals that came and the venture capital industry that was created really created that perfect storm by the end of the 90s and the year 2000 started putting Israel on the map. But I can tell you from a personal experience that even, you know, 10 years ago, when Startup Nation Central was created, much for this purpose, you still needed to have a few why Israel slides. You still needed to explain to an investor or a multinational company why, if you're thinking about innovation, Israel is definitely the place, if not one of the places, to do it.
Right.
And I think today we're not there. Today we're absolutely, you know, because of that virtuous cycle and that fountain of innovation, it really is well known. And there's still challenges ahead, right? We need to maintain that. It's not, it doesn't happen by itself. You need the human capital to fuel it. And you need to make sure that you have the right environment for this sector to flourish. But all in all, Israel stands strong.
Intel, I mean, it's unfair for me to ask you this. I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but do you know what year or around what year Intel opened up in Israel? How long ago that was?
Yeah. Absolutely. Intel came to Israel mid-70s.
Wow.
So about almost 50 years ago. Yeah. IBM came into Israel in 1949, the day after the establishment, you know, of our modern state. But the big boom in the multinationals, what I just talked about is in the last 10 years. Really, yeah. That's where you see flood of multinationals coming in. Intel, by the way, came to Israel, typical story, which happened again and again later. because one of its greatest engineers wanted to come back to, he was an Israeli, he wanted to come back to Israel. They didn't want to lose him. They said, you know what, take four engineers and do something there. And as I told you, there are 20,000 employees in Intel Israel today doing both manufacturing and R&D, design and innovation.
Unbelievable. Hey, do you mind if I lodge a complaint on behalf of my Israeli friends?
Go ahead. That's a very Jewish thing, being dissatisfied. So go ahead.
Good point. Living up to my reputation and my heritage. They want Amazon Prime. They want the same type of service we have here in the U.S. You think it'll ever happen?
Well, you're actually touching, you know, a very important point. Whereas in many aspects in Israel, once you move out of the high-tech scene, it doesn't feel like Startup Nation. And we've suffered from, you know, we don't, asandlar olech yechef, in Hebrew, I'm sure this also in English, where the implementation of the technologies that we develop for the entire world rarely happen in Israel. By the way, we don't have Uber either. Yeah, we have Get. It's not exactly the same.
Right.
And the financial system in Israel is also less innovative than you could think. So while we develop the most advanced technologies in the world, they're not always implemented. And the reason is, you know, it's a combination of regulation and all of other issues that I doubt if we have the time to develop. You know, just to your Israeli friends, and I have, of course, a few of my own, they all have U.S. addresses, which they use to send their Amazon packages.
I know, but then I end up schlepping everything, Avi.
That's the point. That you need extra storage room for your Israeli friends. But that's how it is. You know, we're all brothers, so you should contribute your part.
Now I'm going to have to break the news to my real brother in Yerushalayim that you've gone ahead and endorsed my schlepping, which he'll be very happy to hear. I can tell you that much. Avi Hasson, Startup Nation Central's CEO. This has been a fascinating conversation. Toda rabah lecha. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, and the listeners. You have a good day.
More coming up. It's JM in the AM on a Wednesday morning broadcast.